Hello and welcome to this Diwali special podcast from the Reach Network. My name is Brinda and I'm a project executive in the Corporate Reputations team. Today, I'm delighted to host this podcast where you'll hear about the festival Diwali. I have with me three others who will be joining me and sharing with you our experiences celebrating Diwali. I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Harshita and I'm a graduate research exec from Creative Excellence.
Hello, I am Siddharth. I am an associate director from the innovation team.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sunit, and I am a research exec in the RADS team.
So first of all, I'd like to give you some understanding of what Diwali is. So Diwali is one of the most widely celebrated festivals in India. It usually falls between mid-October, mid-November, and its exact dates are usually determined by the Hindu lunar calendar. So the word Diwali is derived from the Sanskrit word Dipavali, which translates to row of lights. And yes, indeed, light plays a very central role in this festival. And people usually decorate their homes and other public spaces with beautiful oil lamps, also known as diyas, to symbolize the triumph of light over darkness and good over evil. But Diwali is not just about lighting lamps. It is a time of joyous celebration, togetherness, and renewal. Usually families and friends come together to exchange gifts, share delicious sweets and other savory dishes, and yeah, just create lasting memories. And the festival also marks the start of the Hindu New Year. And it is believed that performing these rituals during Diwali brings good fortune and prosperity for the upcoming year. So, is there any religious context or stories that you all associate with Diwali?
Diwali is actually, like you said, is celebrated as a festival of lights, as the victory of good over evil or victory of knowledge over ignorance. So Diwali is actually, although it is just one day, but it is celebrated over a period of almost 5 days. It starts with Dhanteras, and then there is Narak Chaturdashi, which is also in some cultures called as Kali Chodas. Then the third day is Diwali, or in other languages it's also called as Lakshmi Pujan. And then you have Bhai Dooj, and you also have, like you said, the New Year, which is called Padwa in some cultures. So Diwali basically is celebrated for the return of King Shri Ram after he slayed the demon king Ravan, who had abducted his wife. So Ram, his brother Lakshman, and his wife Sita, they returned back to Ayodhya from Sri Lanka after killing the demon king Ravan over there. The first day, which is also called as Dhanteras, is celebrated for the birth of Dhanvantari, who is seen as the god of Ayurveda, or the traditional Hindu medicine. Then the next day is, of course, Narak Chaturdashi or Kali Chodas, which is celebrated in some cultures where God Shri Krishna actually slayed a demon named as Narkasur. Then, like I said, it is Diwali. And then, of course, there is Padwa, which is, like you said, is the New Year, and for some cultures. And of course, so my wife is a Gujarati, which means that she, in her culture, they actually, you know, worship accounting books because they open new accounts for the following year. And then there is Bhai Dooj, which actually celebrates the sacred bond of between brothers and sisters, and where the sisters actually pray for the long life of brothers.
On top of that, I think for me, it's also the fact that Dhanteras, we buy a lot of gold utensils because it's considered a very auspicious day. So like any big purchases that you make are tend to be made on that day. And it's quite nice because you also now have a lot of sales going on that period. So like you tend to like buy nice clothes and dress up and get to meet your friends and buy a lot of amazing stuff.
So it's kind of like the Black Friday.
Yeah, pretty much. Agreed. Yeah.
I am a Sikh. And in the Sikh tradition, on the Sikh faith, we also celebrate Diwali because it coincides with the date, around the time it coincides with the return of the sixth Sikh Guru, Sri Guru Hargobind, from his detention in the Gwalior Fort in October of 1619. The story behind this is that his return coincided with the festival of Diwali, and it led to similar celebrations amongst the Sikhs in during the time. And Guru Hargobind was detained due to some misunderstandings that were propagated owing to a corrupt officer in the court of the Mughal emperor Jahangir at the time. And what's been said is that while Guru Hargobind was imprisoned in the Gwalior Fort, he helped to improve the living conditions of other political detainees who were these Hindu kings who were detained by the emperor at the time. And after several months, when the guru's release was put forth, the Emperor Jahangir said, "You can leave," but the guru decided that he also wanted to try to get the other prisoners released with him. But Jahangir put a condition on him that only those who can hold on to your cloak will be allowed to leave. And the guru then created a cloak within which there were 52 strands in which people could hold on to, and then 52 people were allowed to be released during the time. So his return is also celebrated in a form of kind of coinciding with the good over evil.
Great stories. And since you mentioned that Diwali is also celebrated in the span of 4 or 5 days, are there also any religious rituals that you all observe for Diwali?
So on the day of Narak Chaturdashi, basically, since I come from Mumbai, but my roots are mixed roots. So my surname is Karnataki, which means my native place is in Belagam, but my family comes from Goa and I'm born and brought up in Mumbai. So it's like a junction of three states. And Narak Chaturdashi is actually the first day of Diwali for us, when we wake up early in the morning and people generally have a bath with scented oil. So it is also called as Abhyanga Snan. That is actually the day when we also do the puja and you offer sweets. And that is actually the first day when we start feasting on all the sweets that have been made for Diwali. People also burst crackers, but of course that has come down now due to more awareness around pollution. But having said that, there are some green crackers as well, which are now gradually picking up. And so also in our culture, and I have also seen this in some other cultures, that for Narak Chaturdashi, there's a specific fruit which is crushed after your bath with your heel, just to signify the killing of the demon Narakasur by Shri Krishna.
In my culture, I come from Andhra Pradesh, and for us as well, Diwali is not 5 days, it's more 2 days. And the first day is the Narak Chaturdashi. And for us as well, we have a bath in the morning, but for us, we use sesame oil, because basically Kartika Masam, which is the month in the Hindu calendar, it beckons the onset of winter. So sesame oil, when you rub it on your body, it's supposed to generate heat. Mm-hmm. So it's a scientific thing, but we also use it. It's a ritual that we have. And on top of that, we have a lot of storytelling done around Naraka Chaturdasi story. So grandparents would sit with their kids and your grandkids, and they tell them about the story of how Lord Krishna and Satyabhama went on to kill Narakasura. So those are some small things that we observe. But to be honest, in Andhra Pradesh, it's not as big as it is in the other parts of the country, because we have a lot of other festivals as well. We only celebrated for 2 days, and Narak Chaturdasi is the most important day for us.
Growing up in my home, or if I ever visit my grandparents in Punjab, we normally celebrate by lighting lamps, which is quite common across the country, I would say. And also we go to the Gurudwara. There would be hymns being sung, and then people would be serving langar, which is the communal food that's given to people when they visit the Gurudwara. And we also visit our families and like take sweets for them. But yeah, there aren't any extra rituals associated with it. It's just a there's the same kind of tradition followed with like hymns and food that's prepared.
Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of similar ways that people celebrate it, but also a lot of different rituals and a lot of different customs that people follow and usually associates with where you come from. So what is a typical day of Diwali for you, the main Diwali celebration day maybe? What do you do?
For me, it's a little different because I grew up away from my family, and like I grew up in a very nuclear family, and we lived in an apartment, like a high-rise apartment. So for me, the first thing I remember doing is running to the balcony because I used to love the winters. So I'd be standing in the balcony and watching the fog set in and like the sunlight breaking through, and like I could hear the clatter in the house. I could smell the sweets being made. And it used to be my favorite. Like, I think I can literally picture it in my brain right now. Then it's the bath, like I said, with the sesame oil. And there's basin, which is gram flour, I think. So you wrap that and then you get ready. And then I used to help my mom with a lot of cooking because it used to be fun to do that. And then it would be going to my relative's house some of the relatives lived nearby. So we'd go over there, we'd celebrate for the day. And if I was back home, we'd go to the temple and there'd be something called Harikatha, which is the depiction of the entire Narakasura being slain. So they do like big, a processions in the temple, and they'll really depict like all the characters are drawn out and they do a depiction of the entire thing. So that's like very special to me and it's a core memory for me. But most of it for me is particularly about spending time with family because we are a nuclear family with both parents working. So this is the one time in the year we really get together and we're all at home for like 2 to 5 days. And then we also, like, my grandparents come from my native place. So, like, in summer, I'd go. But in winters, they'd come. So, like, that was something that was very exciting for me to have them here and then show them around the place, take them around Mumbai and show them what kind of a life I lived and make them a part of it. So, like, it was just a sense of that togetherness that I had for that brief moment. That is something that I associate with Diwali.
In my house, I think we would also, my mom has a store, she makes clothes, so she would often make like new kurtas for myself, my brother and my father, and we'd all just wear new clothes, usually something ethnic, and agreed, like, you know, as Harshita said, it was the start of the colder season and it was something we look forward to after a long summer. And it was also like a time that, we'd also go meet our family. And it was all about like bringing family together and like wearing nice clothes, ethnic clothes, which you wouldn't normally wear.
I agree. So ethnic clothes generally, like you don't wear, but this is the day when you do it. And for me, I think when I was back in Mumbai and until like very recently when I used to live there, we as a family used to always visit the temple. So there's a very popular Mahalakshmi temple in Mumbai, which we always used to visit on the occasion of Lakshmi Pujan, which always coincides with the Diwali day. But having said that, apart from that, of course, meeting friends, family, feasting on sweets, exchanging sweets, gifts. So just a very joyous and happy time.
Yeah, definitely. And sort of are there any traditions associated with Diwali that you've heard of others following?
I know for a fact that a lot of my North Indian friends tend to like have a very big Lakshmi Pujan celebration where they do it with actual gold coins or silver coins. Even in my family, we have a small set of silver coins that we use for Lakshmi Pujan, but we do it at a very smaller scale. But like my North Indian friends tend to have like a big celebration out of it. And I know they tend to also get involved in a lot of gambling afterwards, which was very new to me coming from a different culture altogether. Like gambling in my culture is definitely looked down upon. It's not something that's like promoted. But this was the one time in the year where parents would probably encourage their kids to like sit at a table and gamble, and they'd have a kiddie table and an adult's table. And some I've heard of some of the money like that they deal in, and it was really, really surprising to me because they took it very seriously.
Yeah, this is something that I have actually grown up with. So one of the main reasons I looked forward to Diwali was going to my family friends' houses where all the kids would like all the older people, all the parents would sit together and like drink and have snacks and gamble, whereas all the kids would go to the room and, you know, sit down and like chat and watch a movie or, you know, have fun. And it would go on till pretty late in the night. So that was something I would always look forward to. I didn't gamble much, but I know that later on as we grew older, we would also play poker, whereas our parents would be playing teen patti.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. Which is like poker with three cards.
Yeah.
So for me, I have studied in Goa, and I also, part of my family comes from Goa, which means that I have seen the celebration for Narak Chaturdashi in Goa, where they like burn huge effigies of Narakasura. So it's very similar to what you would see in Dasera, effigies of Ravan being burnt. In Goa, it is effigies of Narakasura being burnt. So that is very typical of that small, tiny state in the West. I don't think it happens anywhere else.
I don't think they do it in Andhra Pradesh, even though it is the main thing about Diwali for us. But we do have Bhai Dooj. In my family, we do it a little differently. My brother was very upset that I'd get gifts every Raksha Bandhan. So now we have a tradition that every Bhai Dooj, I give him a gift. So that's how we do it in our family. But do you have a different experience of how Bhai Dooj is celebrated for you guys?
I'm an only child, so I don't have a sister. But I have, of course, three cousins. And we have all grown up together. So which basically means that is the day when we all meet up in one of our houses. So it's sometimes my place or sometimes one of the places. And yeah, it's just fun times where eating food and just thinking and discussing about old times and how we used to play together and what we used to do.
I actually have a younger brother. So we do celebrate Raksha Bandhan and Bhai Dooj. Yeah. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is.
I usually end up getting the gifts.
My brother was very adamant about him getting the gift at the end of it. But I think we all still do get a lot of Diwali gifts. Like, I think it's a gifting season. I know my North Indian friends would get a lot of money, which then they'd be like, oh, let's go party, that kind of stuff. But like for me, it was more clothes and like jewelry kind of a thing. I'd never get money, sadly.
Me too. No one gave me money. I don't think they trusted me.
So what does Diwali mean to you personally, and some of your personal experiences and memories related to the celebration of Diwali? I know you mentioned a lot of things from your childhood and waking up and running to the balcony.
Yeah. For me, I think there's also a small bit of school, because like I think a chunk of my life has been in school, right? So for me, I also remember there being like a lot of competitions in school for rangoli or mehendi and diya making or like lamp making competitions. So it used to be a lot of fun because it was break from studying. So I love that. And then it's also for me, I think my mom would let me have a lot of free will with the way I'd make the rangoli for the house, because I was considered slightly more artistic in our household. So like I'd spend the entire night drawing it out, and then the next day I'd have help from my relatives or my neighbors would help me fill it in. But like we'd make these extravagant rangolis for the entire floor together, which was quite nice. And we'd also have like at the end of the day, like my parents would like sit us down, and it was basically like a half year check with us, like, how are we doing? Do we need to change something? It was like literally like a half year review for us. And we'd sit down at the end of the day and just talk about things which we normally wouldn't have time for. So it was a nice time that I remember in my head, where my parents would sit me down and just be like, how's it going for you? Like, your second, like, the first term of exams are done. How did that go? Do you want more help with anything? Are you feeling good? And it was very nice to be asked those questions. So, like, it's just etched into my brain, in a sense.
For me, of course, like what Harshita said around all those contests, but I don't remember much about that because I was never very artistic, to be very honest. My mom was very good at rangolis, and of course, my dad also helped her a bit in terms of design. So he wouldn't like draw, but he's an artist himself, so he could actually tell her what designs would look nice. Mm-hmm. So I have seen those things, and I would just sit and observe.
I think we need to give some context for rangoli. So if anyone wants to sort of explain.
So for anybody listening in, it's like, we draw a big, nice design with chalk. I do it that way. And it's mostly an Indian typical design, like the paisley prints you have, stuff like that, that we put it on the ground. And then we use different colored sand to fill it in. So it looks really beautiful because it's very colorful and it's wonderful patterns. And some people tend to also do it with flower arrangements. But that is the basic idea. It's on the floor, on the ground, and you make a pattern or a design and fill it in with either sand or flower petals.
I think for me, the tradition, the personal sort of traditions were following in the footsteps of all the other boys in the building who wanted to burst crackers. I personally didn't enjoy it as much, but it was what all the boys were doing. So, you know, you try to fit in, and it was, you know, people would go out and buy these big boxes of firecrackers, definitely some which were hazardous, which shouldn't have been allowed to be bought by kids, but yeah, they were done. It was always very nice. You'd have, as soon as it was evening time, you'd have these different kind of crackers going up. I remember the names in Hindi. Yeah. But flower pots and like these spinning tops with sparks coming out of them and loud bombs rockets. Oh, and then there were some like bratty people who would try to have competitions between our building and the next building and try to throw firecrackers into. It's a very, very typical thing. But of course, we condone that behavior now.
So yeah, so speaking of new traditions, I feel like all of us are away from home. So what are some traditions from your home that you still follow over here? Any new traditions that you adopted now?
I mean, for me, I still wake up at 5 in the morning on the day of Diwali to have a shower, but here, of course, it feels too long because the sun rises also quite late, which means anyway, it's too early. Having said that, I still follow that. And of course, it's not as grand now, having been away from home and most of your family and friends being back there. But we still have a family here, and every year we do visit them. We still burst some crackers for the younger members of the family. But it's more about just, you know, everyone's busy, right? So it's just about meeting and talking about what has happened and just thinking about what you would want to do in the future, distribute sweets. And personally for me, I think one big change that has happened in me is earlier I used to only eat, but now I have started making sweets as well here.
For me, I would say it is difficult being away from home because for me, it was, like I said, the togetherness, and now it's not there. But luckily, I have my elder brother who lives here. So we do get together, but now it's more about celebrating with friends than with family. It's taken a turn ever since I entered uni. So it's mostly about spending time with my friends. Now, unfortunately, we're all scattered over the place. So it's now time for me to figure out new traditions. So best of luck to me for that. But yeah, it's mostly about now figuring out what Diwali looks like for me here on, because I don't have any traditions that fit my circumstances now.
Last year, I remember the City of London, the mayor had organized a Diwali festival at Trafalgar Square, which was fun. I went with a couple of my friends, and we just danced to some of the music that was playing there, and like I was wearing like ethnic clothes. I just need an excuse to wear ethnic clothes, really. But yeah, I think probably this year, just go over to a friend's house, where, you know, dress up, have some sweets, maybe gamble a little. I'm not gonna do that, don't worry. We don't promote gambling. Yeah, I think it's just like trying to recreate some of the things that you do at home here, I think, as people have said. So try to find that sense of community and sense of togetherness that we look forward to back home.
I think, like you said, there are a couple of events that happen across London as well, but I think it's more about just finding your community over here and celebrating it with them.
I think it helps me that I stay in Wembley, which is densely Asian, South Asian populated. Yeah. So like, at least I get the sweets. So I'm happy about that.
So thank you all for listening. And I'd like to thank our speakers for today, Sunith, Siddharth, and Harshita. Thanks for sharing your experiences. And I hope all of you learned something. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach us. And we'll speak to you in our next episode.